very early on, Johnny Cash, the Everly Brothers, and then T-Rex was a real big jump for me, and then Motown music then. But I was heavily influenced by my parents' record collection, because they were really music obsessives and still are. So they came home from Ireland, they were only young, like 16, 17, and I was born pretty much like a year later. And so they were like young music fans, and so they didn't bring over like traditional Irish music or anything like that. They were into the American music of the day, so that would be like the hits Johnny Cash was having, and people like the Everlys, and I remember them liking the Hollies as well, you know, they were in the British charts obviously, but being Irish immigrants, they were really big on American music, you know, kind of what I guess was really sort of in the modern country charts, really. So that was what I was hearing, and then they encouraged me to buy my own records, and the first one I bought was a T-Rex single, just because it was it was in a discount rack, and there was and Jeepster happened to have a photograph of Boland and Mickey Finn on the label, and I just figured that I was getting more value from a book by buying this record with a picture on it, plus it was like really beautiful looking. So
what are you looking for?
There was a shop around the corner from where I lived, which is on the route to where I went to school, and at around about 5, this shop used to sell mops and buckets and brooms and whatever, that kind of stuff. And for some weird reason, I had a little toy guitar in the window, and I was completely obsessed about this one guitar. Would have to go and see it every morning, and the folks were not displeased, because they were music freaks, as I said. So they bought it for me, and from then on, I always had a guitar every year, every Christmas. Under the Christmas tree, there'd be this cardboard box that would get bigger and bigger, and I would paint. I remember the first one I had, I painted so it looked like what I was seeing on the television, and I put beer bottle or soda bottle caps on it to make so it would be like knobs, and I used to just stand in front of the television doing this. And I was really completely and utterly obsessed with it. So when I got to 11, the guitar I had was able to stay in tune and get a tune out of. So it sort of goes really, really way back to being like a toddler, really. I always feel like kind of like Whitney Houston or somebody saying that. I've been singing since I was in the cradle, but it is actually like that. And my mother was telling me recently that she would go to a department store on a Saturday, and on the top floor was they used to sell amplifiers and guitars, because I was wondering that whether it was something about the aesthetic shape of the guitar, but she said that the amplifiers as well, she could actually leave me in the store and she'd go and do the shopping. She then explained that the times were very different, and you know, she wouldn't consider doing that now with like with grandchildren or whatever, but she was able to do that. So there was something about electric guitars and amplifiers that I was completely with it. And so now, if on the rare occasions that I see my folks, you know, I notice that my guitars that I had from being in my teens, a couple of them are still in exactly the same position they were, but yet they've decorated. And what they do is I notice the guitars in my house, in my folks' house, in my brother's house, are much like plants, really. That when you decorate, you take them out and you paint the walls and everything, and then you put them back. And the dogs like are very careful not to knock them down, and the little children don't break them. And they're just like this organic sort of part of our life, and they've always been that way, really. So yeah, it's no fear, panic. Yeah, panic. Aeroplanes for some reason. Even though I don't have a fear of flying anymore, but I used to. It was pretty horrendous. But yeah, slow fear, panic, predictably. Corny erotica. Yeah, but corny websites. High street. Sex shops, you know. Which I actually have a really that aesthetic. I have some sort of attraction to. I like that kind of tacky futurist. Because even the word futurist is almost like an anachronism now, which is kind of interesting. But I like that kind of pink neon, slightly airbrushed kind of glamoury vibe. There's something about it that's really is very of it. It's its own thing. Even the typeface. And I considered having a run of singles that we did that, and I collected quite a lot of banners, not of just women, just gay stuff as well, and checked them out. And there's a certain kind of pose and a certain use of colour and typeface that is very distinctive. And a look. And I just wanted to get the band in these sort of poses that whereby you wouldn't really be able to nail down. It was just very not rock and roll and not macho, but you would, it would suggest it, but people, straight people, would not know really why they would. It was something slightly disconcerting about it. So Pink Fuzz, yeah. Well, Bernard Sumner, I just think of that just because he ended up what's the word, just saving one of our videos. Yet another one of the dreadful electronic videos, by staying up all night himself with a blue screen and doing all kinds of stuff. So I just think of Bernard Sumner and generally bad videos. Lampposts and television. Lampposts remind me of sodium light, you know, obviously, and which is a subject Matt Johnson and myself had a real affinity for, because the two of us used to, before we were old enough to really know what drugs were, used to squint at sodium lights in the rain when we were kids to try and transcend the experience of sat in on a winter's night, you know, or you know, in glum 70s England, or in the back of a car, you know. So and he mentions sodium light. We had a song called Sodium Light Baby, and he mentions sodium light quite a lot, and it does remind me of lampposts and that kind of orange light, that's particularly that you get in the cities in England, which is almost archaic and Dickensian and gothic. Has some sort of strange kind of beauty about it. So that's what reminds me. Television is just like, you know, drug of the people, and not a very good one either, really. Black Feather Limbo. Reminds me of Dr. John. Every one of those words, really. Reminds me of Dr. John and gumbo, which I've never tried, but I'm sure I wouldn't like. And voodoo and... you know, my production company is called New Voodoo. I've always had some kind of aesthetic sort of attraction to voodoo and magic, you know, kind of spook stuff, really. Sometimes to a very, very far degree, and other times just to a surface degree, you know. So, yeah, voodoo, New Orleansy, Dr. John, you know. The whole thing. Modern orange sky. Modern, again, it's like, as a word has started to me, for me it become like a very early 80s, just the whole idea of modern seems to me that like a, almost has become like, if I think about it too much, which I'm doing now, it's almost like a dated conceit, you know, this obsession with modern, which we're all kind of guilty of, you know, like a lot of boys, you know, guys I like, and girls I guess, but I you know, I like technology and gadgets and all that kind of stuff. But modern, I don't know, maybe because of the jam and the whole mod thing, and this is the modern world, I think. I remember what it does remind me of, that word, is seeing it on the cover of a Jam record, which I didn't really care for, and that whole kind of shallow aesthetic of modernism for modernism's sake. And I think that we came through a period in the early 90s where we saw the siblings of people who grew up with the Madonnas and technological revolution in the 80s, these people turned against it and went for more for authenticity and a more of an organic thing. I mean, certainly in rock music, which is, you know, I feel like, you know, particularly I know all about, was seemed very concerned about authenticity as a reaction against Photoshop and designer magazines and computerism, which is all stuff that I was very into, and I think it has a use, but the pendulum always swings another way. So modernism right now is a word like futurism to me. It's almost become like the opposite of what it really meant. Futurism was like 70s idea of modernity, and modernism is like an 80s idea of like modernism. It's very weird, because right now, you know, the om sign seems like the most modern thing that's kind of available, really, and most pertinent. Or a crucifix, you know, or piercings. It's a very modern thing, but really, I guess, you know, one could argue that it's actually, you know, you could look at it and say it's a complete evidence of the need for people's intrinsic need, it's a display of people's intrinsic need to be part of a tribe, you know, sort of almost paganism, and that's modern. It's interesting, this, when you start hooking on a word, isn't it, the word becomes disassociated. It's like when you're tripping and someone says your name, you know, and you just like look at that name and you say, what the fuck does that mean? You know, I used to get that with horse. When I was tripping, I always know that I was like really, really getting there, because I think of the word horse and it just would seem ludicrous word. I forgot the other words you said. I just got caught on modern. But it's quite a good way of doing an interview, because you just end up like not talking about the Smiths.